Welcome to Smart Branding, a podcast dedicated to branding, naming, and domain names. I'm Tatiana Bonneau, and with my guests, we try to help you create and grow strong, memorable, and meaningful brands online. I believe time is one of our most precious assets, and so I want to thank you in advance if you decide to spend the next 30 minutes with us. I promise to do my best to make those worth it. Let's go. So my guest today is Alan Langer. He is a transformative sales trainer with a pitch-free, human-centered approach. We're going to talk about what he does, how can it be useful to all of you. So let's start with a bit of a background. Alan, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Tatiana. Thanks for having me on. So yeah, I've been in sales now over 25 years, and my longest stint was with Anderson Windows. So the United States listening portion of your audience will know Anderson Windows pretty well. I was their number one sales rep for many, many years. And I'm also a writer at heart. So in 2019, I wrote a book about why I was successful in sales. And surprisingly to me, the book became a bestseller. So from that point, I started getting speaking engagements from the book. And then I decided that this could be my next chapter, pun unintended, in my life, to become really help people in the sales world get better at what they do. And so that turned into my Seven Secret Sales Academy is what I have now. And my whole concept is really, my tagline on LinkedIn is changing the world of sales one team at a time, because sales has such a negative perception. Nobody wants to meet with a salesperson. Nobody wants to talk to salespeople, even if they need the actual product. So I try to kind of turn you into the anti-salesperson so people enjoy conversation with you and you sell more.
I completely agree with you. And I mean, I don't think anybody can, you know, be in business for even like a couple of years and not have something to do with sales. It's like, you know, you have a product, you have a service, you have to sell it. But as you say, it has that super negative connotation and association to you know, just even the word. And why do you feel that is?
Well, look at it this way. No one ever, if you ever ask a kid, you know, you always ask a kid, what do you want to be when you grow up? No one ever says salesperson. Fireman, doctor, lawyer, you know, whatever. But no one ever says salesperson, because throughout the years when sales, you know, obviously sales has always been a thing, but unfortunately, human nature, people try to take advantage of people. And that's what salespeople used to do. And they still do, but it used to be very prevalent in 50s, 60s, 70s, you know, all of those times where you had the snake oil salesman and the high pressure salesman and all the movies about the tricksters out there. So people don't trust salespeople. And there was actually a recent study done. This is pretty crazy. I look at a lot of studies, and I think Cornell did this, and they looked at the psychology of, like, they were taking pictures of the brain during certain conversations. And as soon as a human being, or at least the people in this study, detected any type of sales pitch, a certain part of their brain lit up and they shut down. They literally turned off their listening skills because they realized that they were being sold to. And you need to, as salespeople, you need to understand that as soon as you sound like a salesperson, your chances of selling that person go way, way down. So you have to figure out how to become the person that's not the salesperson. You can still sell something, but approach it from a helping standpoint and not a selling standpoint. You'll just do better.
I loved, I'm just going to open your website, because there is that quote literally on the front page: you don't need a closing technique if your main intention is to help the customer. Right. And I really like that. And it's funny, it kind of reminded me of a podcast I had with a trademark attorney, and we were talking about in a very similar way how that's seen as a very, you know, complicated process, and what is trademarkable and how should you do it, and it's all very, very not human and complicated. And in very simple terms, he basically said, well, the aim of all of that is to protect the customer. And I'm like, yeah, that's logical when you think about it. But we have gone such a way to, you know, in a way, we've taken that human experience and the reason for all of that to be there out, and focused on all the, like you say, the mechanics, and that goes even down into like tricking and all of that it has really become a different thing. And when I saw that quote, it really reminded me of that. I was like, oh yeah, that's what sales is about.
Yeah, and when you look at sales training and all the corporate training and everything, it's never about helping the customer. It's always about selling the customer. And then when you tell your salespeople to do that, they're going to look at the most ways to sell. So therefore, they look up closing techniques, they look up strategies, they look up objection handling strategies, and all of these things, and they become robotic and they become canned. And the person on the other end is like, here I go again, just talking to another salesperson who's not listening to me. And you'll be amazed if you simply ask the right questions and understand the customer, that's all they want. You solve their problem, you're going to sell. And it sounds so simplistic, and sales is not rocket science, but so many people don't understand that. I like to say that sales is not a numbers game. Sales is a human game. And as long as you're human and you're there to help them, the person will feel that, and you'll have a much better chance of selling whatever you sell.
Do you know what? It reminds me, when we go to marketplaces, and there are quite a few here where you really like you have people coming from the countryside and selling, fruit and vegetable, and it's really cool, like all natural and all that. And one of my favorite sort of examples of how, because you said, we have to just ask the questions, and I thought of that is, usually the majority, I guess, of people, when they buy watermelon, they don't like the seeds. You even have like s types of watermelons now that have been modified genetically or whatever, so you don't have them. So when I walk into, to buy one, people are like, this one has no seeds, no seeds, absolutely no seeds. And actually, the only thing I like about watermelon is that is the seeds. Like, I
You like the seeds.
really, I do. And I'm like, oh my God. And they you have people shouting at you, this one doesn't have any seeds, like not at all. Or science written. And I'm like, I want the seeds. Like, and I think it's a good example of what, people are trying to stick stuff on you based on, assumption that's what you want. And it can be not just not, completely true, but like even completely wrong, like completely the opposite of what you want.
Well, I'll give you two other examples. So, and this is in my book. When you walk into a store and someone walks up to you right away and says, "Can I help you?" What do you immediately say without even thinking? "I'm all
No,
set. I'm
yeah,
good.
I'm good. Yeah,
Leave
I'm just looking.
me alone. I'm just looking." Even if you
Yeah.
actually need help to find what you're looking for, you don't want to deal
Yeah.
with the salesperson. Or let's say you go to, I'm not sure, I'm sure in the Ukraine they have these types of things, but in the United States, we have a lot of home shows, they're called, where you get into this big, auditorium, and all the contractors and the people that fix your home are there, and there's rows and rows of them. So a husband and wife is like, "Hey, let's go to the home show today," because they just want to walk around and have fun. But then instead of enjoying it, they walk down the aisles like this because everyone is like attacking them, like, "Hey, come over here, come over here. Look at this, look at
Yeah.
that." And you're like, you get inundated, and that's the sales fear. And then you don't want to talk to them because they might sell me. So become the anti-salesperson. Simply meet someone, and instead of selling them right away, just say, "Hey, Tatiana, how can I help you? Why'd you call me?" And then shut up. And you can tell me why I'm there.
That
It's
sounds
pretty
simple.
simple. Yeah.
Yeah. So, talk to me about the seven secrets sales philosophy, if it's not a secret.
So when I was selling and I was working for Anderson, and I actually became really good at sales when I stopped following their corporate sales process, because their corporate sales process was mostly product training. They wanted us to go in and demo the window, like put the window on the table and go over the 17 points of weather stripping, and how energy efficient the glass was, and how it tilted into clean, all of these things that the customer just wants a warm living room. That's all they want. They could care less about everything else. So I started realizing that I don't sell windows. I sell a warm living room. I sell a solution to your high energy bills. I don't sell a window. My window does that, but that's not the real problem. The real problem is I got a draft on the back of my neck when I'm watching television. That's what I want solved. So when I wrote the book, I'm like, okay, what am I doing? And I came up with these things that after all of my research and everything, I'm a big research guy. Like, all right, these are the things I'm doing. And now let me find out if these are actually backed up by science. So like social proof, like the 7 pillars of influence, social proof is a big one. Reciprocation is a big one. And social proof is very simple. You know, if you're selling to a couple of lawyers, you want to say, hey, I have 15 of my customers are lawyers as well. Boom. Now they feel more comfortable because you sold to lawyers. It's a simple explanation of social proof. So all of these things, it's based on the mindset and the psychology of sales. They're not tactics. They're simply, this is how the brain works. So therefore, why not take advantage of how the brain works and make the customer feel more comfortable? And that's what the 7 secrets are about.
And like you said on the front page, ultimately it's about solving their problem. So obviously they benefit from that as well.
Yeah. So it's... you solve the problem that, you know, sell the problem that you solve, not the product or service. Like it's a great example is when you go to a networking function and someone says, what do you do? I use this as an example. I did a TikTok video on this and it got 600,000 views. It's my best TikTok video. And I use an example as an electrician. So let's say I meet you at a networking function. I say, hey, Tatiana, what do you do? And you say, I'm an electrician. I'm like, great. Nice to meet you. 10 minutes later, I walk and I meet Joe. And I say, Joe, what do you do? He says, I'm an electrician. Awesome. 10 minutes later, I meet Harry. And I say, Harry, what do you do? He says, you know that breaker in your house that always blows every time you turn on a hairdryer? I'm an electrician. I can fix that in 2 hours. What electrician are you going to remember, and what electrician are you going to call when you need one? The guy who told you the problem that he solves first, not what he does.
Absolutely. And that actually takes us nicely into, I think you mentioned you are into writing, and I can tell already with the examples and the way you go about things that storytelling is a huge part of, yes, of how you do things. So tell me a bit more about that.
Well, that's actually one of the secrets of storytelling. This was before storytelling. I'm not patting myself on the back, but before storytelling is now a big thing.
It's a but term, in my yeah, book, yeah.
Yeah, in my book, I talk about storytelling. But it's not just like so many people out there are like, oh, tell stories, tell stories, tell stories. It's not that easy just to start telling a story, because the story needs to have relevance to the conversation. And the best way to use stories is to actually use analogies and metaphors to help the person understand what you're talking about. So I use an example of like, if you remember your best teachers, you remember those teachers not because of what they taught. It's probably because the stories they told and an analogy to help you understand a concept. Like, for example, when I was in middle school and my science teacher was trying to describe gravity, instead of him using all the formulas and saying this is why gravity happens, he just took a baseball and dropped it on a metal desk. He said, that's gravity. And that was a metaphor for me to understand that's what gravity does. It pulls back to the center of the earth. So anytime you can use an analogy to describe something, especially if you're in technical sales, turn it into a story. Like if you're a fence salesman and you sell fences, don't walk in and say, I have 17 different colors and they come in 6 foot and 8 foot heights and all this stuff. And all that stuff that just goes over everyone's head. Talk about the dog that you kept out of the yard from the last sale that you made because there are toddlers playing in the backyard and this fence protects the toddlers from the Rottweiler next door. That's a story. Now I'm going to remember that guy because he made that story relevant to what I need. That's what I mean by telling stories.
Absolutely, yeah. And when we moved here a few months ago, it's absolutely crazy. That's not just here, actually. I mean, I've lived in France, in England, in Spain, move a lot in general. And the way I'm telling you, that's just beyond, you know, belief. But I don't even think I've had one person when we're looking for a place to move. There is not one person who asks a question different than, you know, what's your budget and what sort of, you know, how many rooms do you want? And
right.
I'm like, how, I mean, and you end up doing that backwards where they throw at you like gazillion options that are not relevant. Instead of them
Right.
asking, you know, what's important to you? Like, I have
Exactly.
kids, I want to be close to a school, for example, or I want to be whatever, you know, it's so much simpler. And I'm like literally estate agents are supposed to be the best salespeople out there because, you know, that's like, it's like the epitome of a salesperson almost. And it's just not happening anywhere. I'm like, how people, how old is this industry? It's just crazy.
Yeah. I think they're probably some of the worst salespeople out there because
Yeah.
they do what you just said. I mean, I don't want to pigeonhole realtors, but
Yeah, no.
most salespeople they're just trained wrong. They're just trained wrong, and or they, the ones that want to get better, they try to buy different books, and then they're trying to do five different things at once. So it's unfortunate. That's why I have a mission. Like I love what I do. I don't even feel like I'm working, and I make a decent living at it. But when I train a company, and let's say example, I just trained this company last year. They had about 13 sales reps, and they were about 4 million in revenue. And this year they're going to do about 13 million. And the owner called me the other day, and he said, "Alan, this is all you. This is all from what you did." That jazzes me up. Like all of these. This owner's life is changing. The sales reps are making more money, so their lives are changing. That's what I love, because they're selling the right way now. They're not selling these high pressure in-home sales ways that they were trained to do. So.
Absolutely. And the potential year of storytelling in that is just crazy. I mean, I think the only sort of a example I've seen that's used a little bit is with boats. I've seen and not all, but I've seen people tell a really good background on the story of the boat. And I'm like, yes, that changes so much from, you know, it has those specifications and that costs that much and that type of a, you know, jacuzzi and whatever. And it's like, duh, you know, what makes it special?
Absolutely. An example in the book is like, let's say you go to an antique store, and there's a little silver spoon sitting there, and the silver spoon says $65. And they're like, okay. Now, if you say that's the silver spoon that George Washington stirred his tea in when he was thinking about crossing the Delaware during the Revolutionary War, that spoon just became a lot more relevant and a lot more valuable because it has a story attached to it. It's as simple as that. So attach stories to what you're selling, and use analogies and metaphors to make what you're selling more understandable. Because people need the images to picture. And when they picture those images that this looks like this, or this is like that, they'll actually understand more. And you'll be way ahead of probably your competition anyway.
So you just mentioned that company. How does a typical process look like? If somebody approaches you to help with their sales process, how does it go from there?
So I'm a little different than most sales trainers out there, because most sales trainers would go into a company and say, "Here's my process, and I'm going to train you on this process," which is okay. But what if the process doesn't match the product, or match their clientele, or even the personalities of the sales reps in the room? So I actually spent a full day with the company doing what I call a customer evaluation, or an evaluation of what they're doing. And I want to know the heartbeat of the company. I want to know the personality of the sales reps. I want to know what the journey of their customer is. And then I'll come up with a customized sales process for them based on my seven secrets. Because sometimes two or three of the secrets are not relevant to what they sell. So therefore, why should I even waste my time training them? I'll train on this one. Like, for example, I have a whole chapter and a whole training session on how to price and present your price properly. Most sales reps don't know how to present their price. But sometimes I'll be in an industry where that's not really as relevant to actually present it because of whatever the industry is. So I'll just leave that out. So I offer very customized training for the seven secrets, but it's based on the company itself.
And is it like, do you work globally? Is there industry that you prefer to work with or industries that you don't work with? How does that work?
I mean, I niche down when I do my prospecting. It's mostly in the remodeling and the construction industry. So the contractors, the people that sell to homeowners for the most part. But then I also do work with this company. He's a leadership and a management company, and he deals with Fortune 500 companies that do all kinds of different things. And he sends me in for sales training, mostly for I do a whole talk on body language and sales. And that pretty much transcends all industries because it's human to human, no matter what you're selling. So I can go in and do that. So, but my niche is if you're an in-home salesperson or if you're selling to homeowners, roofing, siding, windows, hot tubs, landscaping, all that kind of stuff, those are the companies that that's the industry I came from. Those are the companies I love helping. So that would be my niche, but I can help anybody sell anything better. So.
Great. That's good to know. Want to go on the branding and naming side of things. So you are actually like you have the Seven Secrets, the book, your website and the business itself is basically your personal brand, your branding
Yes.
as yourself, your name. What was the reasoning for that?
I made the decision. So it's me. It's alanlanger.com. But then I recently made it. You can also do the 7secretsalesacademy.com as well. Goes to the same website. Because I knew that it would be me. I'm going to be the face of the brand anyway. And even at some point, if the business expands where I have other trainers working for me and things like that, then I can probably start relying more heavily on the seven secret side of it, you know, the red, red, black, and white coloring. But people buy from people, people trust people, so it's really me that I want them to talk to and deal with. And then if I get to the point, the fortunate point where, yeah, maybe I do want to expand and have trainers working for me, I can push the brand toward more of the company. But right now I kind of like where I'm sitting, but I always try to stay, you know, like you see my book, it's the same black, white, and red. And that's where I stay with it. And yeah, I just try to stay on brand all the time.
And on that, I hear that a lot when I talked. And I used to, like, before I started working with naming and domains, I was in IT, so we were doing software and websites. And I had the same comment come up very often from business owners that are in the B2B space. Like saying brand is not that important to me because I'm B2B. Like I'm not, you know, direct to consumers. I don't have to worry that much about my presentation, my domain strategy. You know, I'm looking at your t-shirt and like you mentioned, the consistency of the brand a lot. And I still hear that when it comes to domain names, you know, I'm B2B, branding doesn't matter that much to me. What are your
Wow.
thoughts on that?
Oh my God, branding's everything. Even now, especially with LinkedIn now, with the explosion of LinkedIn since COVID, personal branding is everything. Like you know, I talk to companies. I did a talk about a month and a half ago in front of about 75 people in the hospitality industry, where they were event planners and you know, they're B2B, B2C, they deal with everyone. And out of this, probably the 75 in the audience, I would say 60 barely had LinkedIn profiles.
Oh,
It just blew me away. So I did a whole 2-hour thing just for them on LinkedIn, and they were like, couldn't even believe it was like a whole new.
wow.
I took them to another planet. It was crazy. So yeah, personal branding. Even if you work for a company, people don't do business with companies. They do business with people that work for that company. And even if you worked for Apple, of course, Apple has a great brand, but if you yourself, I don't like you, I'm not doing business with you. And therefore I'm not doing business with Apple. So you got to have a really good personal brand. And it starts with LinkedIn. LinkedIn is like little mini website for your personal brand.
I think that you mentioned Apple, and actually the brands that are most successful consistently over decades now, it's quite funny that even though they are brands, you can really imagine their personality. So I think a huge part of their success is that you really assign them to a type of a person. And
Yeah.
usually, actually, you have that, like, you know, I can think of 10 Nike athletes just, you know, off the top of my head. There's a Nike,
Right.
and it's those people and what they stand for and what they do. And you can do the same with Apple and, you know, brands like that. So, as you said, even if there is, you know, the brand company, it still comes down to people.
Yeah, and I think companies are finally coming around to that. There were companies as little as 2 years ago that would not allow their employees to be on LinkedIn or to mention anything other than their own company on LinkedIn, and not to be have their personality come out. And then they're realizing that's just a huge mistake, because you can't again, how come people aren't going to our company page? Because people don't care about the company. They care about the person that they're speaking with. Really?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think, if you're worried about what your employees are going to talk to as they represent your company, it's not the employees that are the problem. Like, you have some internal issue to solve there.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Absolutely. How has artificial intelligence impacted, sales and what you do in particular, if at all?
How did what impact sales?
Artificial intelligence.
Oh God, AI. Here's what I'm seeing with AI. First of all, what's happened in AI? It's obviously revolutionary. It's amazing. It's if you use it the right way, it can be very, very helpful. But it's also being used quite, I think, incorrectly by so many salespeople, where they're just sending out so many automated messages and bots and I think it's so saturated now with that AI stuff that people are going to start craving more human interaction.
I was just gonna say that.
Yeah, because they're not getting it as much. Like, you're on LinkedIn, obviously. I'm on LinkedIn. I've got 15,000 followers, and I probably get 10 to 20 messages a day, AI messages. And you know right away it's an AI message. It's pretty easy to tell. And I'm not responding to them, because if someone's going to do that, I don't think I want to do business with you. I want to do business with someone who actually cares to make a legitimate connection with me. And I understand the reason to do it, because it does, the automation does help you reach more people. But man, you gotta sit down and take a look at that and see, is that hurting my business more than helping it? Like, if I'm going to get one cold call out of 500 messages, I just pissed off 499 people for one call. I don't know if I want to do that. So yeah, I mean, AI, absolutely use it. If you want to write a blog with it, just don't print the exact thing that AI come up with. Put your own personality to it, so it'll help you get things done quicker. But it's not an end all be all, and I think the pendulum's going to swing back at some point fairly soon, where people are going to want more human connection.
Oh, I think it is swinging already. I think recently I had, and that's just one example, but exactly what you said, I had some issue with some online service, and it was going through a chatbot that was just going in circles, and I was feeling like a complete idiot, like trying to ask the question differently to get it to, and at some point I was like, I just want to talk to a human. I was literally typing it, connect me to a human, I want to talk to a human. And I'm like, Jesus, where have we got to?
So
I was literally actually thinking, I remember the time when it was annoying to, you know, to talk to somebody, and exactly what we had, that salespeople and they're trying to, you know, upsell you, or they're taking time to solve your problem. And I was sitting there thinking, just any person, just anyone, just a human.
Right. Like, it used to be like, first the chat bot came up and you're like, oh, you kind of avoided it. Then also, wow, this is pretty cool. I don't have to make a phone call. I can talk to a person. And now it's gone all the other way, where it's not even a person anymore. Yeah. It's a robot. And it's very frustrating. And it's the same thing with, you know, where phone, when you call a business and trying to get through the phone tree of choices and press one and press two and all that stuff, it's maddening. Oh. It really is. Human to human contact will never, ever go away as the best form of communication. Mm-hmm.
I was suffering a lot with that in France, because we speak French at home, but I obviously, like, I have an accent. And when I was getting through those bots, when they're asking you to pronounce something and they wouldn't get it in French, it was like, oh my God, it was horrible. Just say that. I'm like, I'm saying it. Oh dear.
That's awesome.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Last question. What is something that, like, if you had a magic stick, you could stop. Sorry, my dog is annoying. No. You would get people to absolutely, like, stop doing in sales. Just one thing that they can, you know, wake up tomorrow and not do, or do, if, you know, depending on how.
I get this question a lot, and there's a few things that pop in my head. The one thing I will say, and this goes hand, it's going to be two things, but you can combine them together. Stop selling so fast is number one. Because what happens with most sales reps is they hear the problem and they immediately start saying, here's my solution. Like, my CRM is terrible. It doesn't do this. Oh, well, look at my CRM. It does this, 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 and this. And now you're selling. Instead of selling so fast, ask open-ended questions after they tell you their problem. They say, my CRM is terrible right now. We got to get a new one. So instead of selling your CRM, you say, oh, really, Tatiana, tell me more about that. Now you're going to tell me what the problem is. Like, because saying my CRM is terrible is not the problem. There's a problem within that. Tell me more about that. Well, every time we enter this city, it never comes out right. Really? Describe for me how that's affecting your business. Another open-ended question. Now you're actually saying, well, we lost $300,000 in sales last year because of it. Wow, how did that affect the morale of your company? And then you just keep asking open-ended questions. Now you are feeling, wow, this guy's listening to me. He's starting to understand my problem. And then at some point, they're going to be begging you to sell them because you just voiced everything that you're selling yourself. You're like, okay, here are my problems. Please, now it sounds like you can help me. And then you can start selling. So please, reps, stop selling so fast and ask more open-ended questions. That would be my advice.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much. That's been an absolute pleasure with a lot of useful advice for our listeners. We're going to include all the ways they can reach out to you and get your book as well. It's been a
Yes.
pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate being on the show.
Thanks.
Welcome to Smart Branding, a podcast dedicated to branding, naming, and domain names. I'm Tatiana Bonneau, and with my guests, we try to help you create and grow strong, memorable, and meaningful brands online. I believe time is one of our most precious assets, and so I want to thank you in advance if you decide to spend the next 30 minutes with us. I promise to do my best to make those worth it. Let's go!